Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Borzello is the man who, over the weekend, predicted Mike Miller, Memphis assistant Mike Miller, would be the next coach at UNLV. He's a college basketball insider for ESPN, and he joins us now. Jeff, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? That was a heck of an introduction for me. Just throw it right out there. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, you're the one that started the fire. I mean, it's one thing when it's just
city is burning.
It's one thing when it's some random dude on Twitter with 800 followers. It's another when you put it in a story and predict it. I mean, you understand that.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think it was an unreasonable name, and I know that there's a lot more, fire now or smoke now, whatever the phrase is. I do think there's definitely interest from his side in the UNLV job, and I think there's some interest in him just because of what he would bring to the table in terms of, A, he's got a name, B, his brother coached there, and C, he's just got relationships with a lot of high-profile recruits, and I think that's what UNLV wants and what UNLV needs to get back to the way they once were.
Your prediction was Mike Miller, and like you said, you know, his name has come up in several articles that I've seen. Do you still believe that it will be Mike Miller, or have you had information in the last 24 hours that might change your view on it?
I think he's involved. And if I had to, and so the reason behind the prediction was that I think it was, you know, maybe the most realistic scenario I could have seen at the time. And I still think it's realistic, and I still think he's definitely involved. But I do think that, you know, a lot of the stuff that we've heard about UNLV, you know, Rick Pitino and Jason Kidd and Tyronn Lue and things like that, and it doesn't seem like that's the way they're going to go. I just talked to somebody just now, and he's like, I think it's going to be a normal college coach search. You're going to have assistants and you're going to have head coaches involved. You're not going to have the crazy names that have been thrown around for UNLV. And so I think that also helps Mike Miller's cause, is you're not going to have these, big-time names also involved. And, you know, we've heard Thad Matta a little bit, and that doesn't seem like a great fit. So it's, for me, it ticks a lot of boxes. Like, I think that for Mike Miller it works. I think for UNLV it works. And that's why I think it's a realistic idea to think at the end of the day he gets hired there. Is that a lock? No, not at all. But I do think that he is on the candidate list.
I'm with you. It needs electricity. It needs juice out in UNLV. Yeah. That's what it needs, some life, some maybe some new life, some new blood. But what is that? And that's what I had down was Thad Matta, and you said not good fit. Is it because he doesn't bring that, the electricity? Is that what's missing? We know he's a good coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of questions. I think, one, we have to find out if Thad Matta really wants to get back into coaching.
If he wants to, yeah.
Right. You know, assuming he's healthy and assuming he wants to get back in, I think it's a good name. Is he the right type of guy for Las Vegas?
Right.
Does he bring that pop, like you said? You know, does he bring that juice that UNLV needs? I'm not sure. I think he would win there, but I don't know if he's the type of headline guy that UNLV really needs. But if he does want to get back into coaching and he is open to going to Las Vegas, then to me, that would be a home run hire. I just don't know how realistic that is right now.
And you mentioned him, Pitino. Parrish was, a couple of weeks ago, he was saying it was the perfect spot for him. UNLV should do it. Go get Pitino. For you, is that one, and you said you'd mentioned just feeling like it's not going to go that way. Is that more just because of the baggage that comes with Pitino? Why would they not go that way?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's pretty much just because of the baggage, and, you know, NCAA has not finished their investigation to Louisville, so, you know, you could be hiring a guy that's going to have sanctions on him in a year or two. And, you know, but I do, like, I'm with Parrish, and in the article, you know, that would have been my recommendation. If I was a search firm for UNLV, it would be recommending Rick Pitino, and just because, why not? I mean, he's going to bring that juice. I mean, obviously, if UNLV hires Rick Pitino, that's an automatic headline for a few days in the college basketball world, and it goes past college basketball. I mean, that's going to be the lead on SportsCenter if UNLV hires Rick Pitino. And so I think he would bring that headline, and I think, you know, he's shown that he can turn programs around quickly. He's shown he can recruit in different areas. He's got ties to UNLV, some of the power brokers in Las Vegas like him. And so, I think that would be a really good hire. I just don't know if they can do it.
Yep.
I don't know if any school can do it really for him.
With you 100%.
If UNLV, and I do sense that, you know, we're a few steps away from this, but if it does end up being Mike Miller, and then the search does end up centering on Mike Miller, you know, what do they and what will they have seen in him to go that direction?
I think there's a few things. I think first is just the relationships he's built with high-level high school recruits. We've heard just he's got great relationships with a lot of guys. Obviously, Memphis it's helped Memphis just the fact that, you know, Penny's basically built a fence around the city. So that helps. But Miller's got relationships with, you know, Matt Hurt and guys like that. In the 2020 class, got relationships with Jalen Green. And so I think that would help. I think he could say, hey, you know, I could bring a Jalen Green to UNLV if you hire me. I think the second thing is that he's got a name, and it's not just in college basketball. He played in the NBA for 17 years. He's got some name recognition, and I think you guys talked about it earlier on the show that he's shown, you know, an ability to prepare Memphis for tough games. He's had some scouts in big games, and you know, I don't know if we all knew that going into the year. I mean, he never had coaching experience before he was an assistant at Memphis, and I think he showed that. You know, he can prepare a team scout-wise for that. And I think the other thing, and I don't know how much of a factor this would be, but his brother was at UNLV. His brother knows the landscape. He knows the people that he has to know. And yep. I think that would help. And, you know, I'm guessing that would be part of the sales pitch if you're Mike Miller. Say, hey, I'll bring my brother with me. So, you know, I hit the ground running. It's not, you know, even though I've never been a head coach and you know, I could bring him and we could figure it out. So I think there's a lot of things that would be attractive about Mike Miller for UNLV.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about the 2020 class for sure. And I even think 2019, you know, Vegas is an easy sell. You know, in 2020, RJ Hampton's already tweeted about it. You know, he's already retweeted a rumor about it and with eyeball emojis. So, you know, that's definitely, you know, it's not totally similar to what happened at Memphis with Penny Hardaway because he doesn't have those same hometown sentimental connections. But I do think, just in the sense that UNLV needs that jolt, Mike's got connections to players. You know, he's a two-time NBA champion. You know, these are things that are easy to sell. And if the candidate pool is Ty Lue, Jason Kidd, you know, Dad Mata, and Mike Miller, I don't know why just objectively why you wouldn't gamble on you know, no pun intended, a guy like Mike.
Yeah, and I think that's the other part of it is that, you know, if you're not going to get a Thad Mata type who's proven he can win at the college level, you know, why not go a totally different direction? You've done the Marvin Menzies where he was a winner at New Mexico State. Obviously, Chris Beard would have been a better option, but that didn't work out. Before that, you know, you had Dave Rice, and he did a pretty good job. You did, you know, Lon Kruger did a great job, you know, several years ago. But now why don't you go a different direction and hire an up-and-comer who, you know, has never been a head coach, but he's proven he's got the, you know, he's shown some signs of being a successful coach. Why not take a chance on that? You're UNLV. I mean, right now you're behind the eight ball, you know, of Nevada. You know, Nevada's a better program in the state right now. Mm-hmm. Why not take a chance on an up-and-comer who's going to bring players, who has a name, and hope it works out? If it doesn't, I mean, they fired Menzies after 3 years.
Yeah.
If this doesn't work out in 3 years, you could start again and hire a proven college coach or an NBA guy like Jason Kidd or something like that. But to me, why not go out and hire somebody with a theoretically a high ceiling and a lot of potential?
No, and this typically, generally in college basketball, like athletic departments and athletic directors are usually not hard to read. Like just take Memphis, for example. You know, they hired Josh. Josh didn't work out. What'd they do? They went out and hired the opposite of Josh, which was Tubby Smith.
Right.
When Tubby Smith didn't work out, they basically go out and hire the opposite of Tubby Smith. You know, schools and programs typically tend to go out and after a hire doesn't work, they don't go back to that. Like, they're not going to hire the next Marvin Menzies, right, whoever that is, like some established. To me, they want to make a splash, and I think, you know, hiring Mike would accomplish that. Let's move on to the tournament and some other college basketball. The Memphis Tigers are not in the NCAA tournament. Didn't particularly get close. It sounds like they're a 3 seed in the NIT. But from what attention you did pay them over the season, what did you make of Penny Hardaway's debut year?
I mean, I was impressed. You know, obviously there was a lot of, you know, headlines and, you know, things he said, but on the court, I think they did a pretty good job. I mean, they won 21 games. I don't know if that was expected of them. I mean, they had talent, which helped, but I do think they did a pretty good job. I mean, they beat UCF. They beat Temple. They won a couple games in the conference tournament. They were competitive against, we see now, they beat tournament teams like Yale. They beat South Dakota State, which won a league title. So I think, to me, they overachieved or they did better than most people expected. You know, he had talent coming back. And so I guess credit to Tubby Smith for a little bit of that. But I do think that, you know, there were a lot of questions about, oh, is he just an AAU coach? Is he just a high school coach? Is he just some guy that can get Memphis kids? And to me, he's proven he can do more than all that. I mean, he's recruited as well as anyone in the country. If he lands a couple of the guys, he's still going after. And he's won games against tough teams and more proven head coaches in the league. You know, to me, it's just, the arrow is pointing up for Memphis and Penny Hardaway. And I think he did a really good job in his first year.
Jeff, I got to ask you this. I've been asking quite a few national guys, and because you cover the carousel, I want to ask you too. It feels like to me like the AAC, which was better than all of us thought it would be this year, has got four bids, two in the NIT, is in a great place. If it can keep Kelvin Sampson at Houston, you figure with what Hurley's going to do at UConn and what Penny's obviously going to do here, we all feel like that this league's in a spot where maybe it's looking at a, you know, a couple of years of being a 5-6 big leads, one of the best leagues in the country. So I ask you all that to ask you, what are the chances that Houston can get Kelvin Sampson to stay for a while, or will the job he's done there, which some saying is, you know, National Coach of the Year material, will that eventually be the thing that ends up pulling him out to another school?
I think they have a pretty good – the way things stand right now in terms of what might open, in terms of other jobs, I think there's a really good chance he returns next year, because I think he would – you know, I think A&M, Texas A&M, is going to go after
That's
Buzz Williams. And he's probably going to take it. And so –
good.
Assuming they go after Buzz Williams and he takes it, he's not going to go to Texas. Kelvin Sampson's not going to Texas A&M. If Arkansas opens, then Kelvin Sampson might go for that, but I don't see that opening right now. UCLA, it seems like they're going a different direction. Mm-hmm. Arizona, we don't know if that's going to open or not. And I don't know if any other jobs clearly make sense for him right now. And, you know, Houston can pay. I mean, that's not going to be an issue. They can match money-wise what a big – most big schools would spend on him. And so, you know, that's not going to be an issue. I think he's got a high comfort level with Houston. He's got a son on staff, and it's he's got a lot of connections that you know are involved in the program. And I think that's a really attractive thing for him. And I do think that Houston would love to keep him around forever. And I think they would be willing to, you know, at least try to match what other schools would offer. And like I said, I just don't know if there's any jobs that are going to open up that really make a ton of sense for Kelvin Sampson.
Good for the league.
We are, of course, talking to Jeff Borzello, college basketball insider for ESPN. Any real grievances, Jeff, as you surveyed the NCAA bracket, any real grievances for you in terms of what the committee got wrong or right?
Not really. I mean, I think that we all knew the bubble was pretty bad this year. And so, you know, you could have had any six teams out of the tournament make it in or any six teams in the tournament make it out, and it wouldn't have really shocked me. I wouldn't have complained. The only thing that I didn't like, I guess there's two things. One is it feels like the bracket was made on Friday afternoon. And they didn't really account for anything that happened this weekend. Yep. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, you just go down the list. Seton Hall makes the Big East title game. They get a 10 seed. Iowa State wins the Big 12 tournament title. They get a 6 seed. Auburn gets a 5 seed. These teams didn't move. VCU loses in the quarterfinals of the A-10 tournament. They get an 8. Right. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I think, like I said, I mean, this would have been a bracket you would have seen on Friday afternoon before all this stuff happened. And that's what it feels like. And I think the other thing that, and I know I'm not the only one bothered by this, is some of the locations were terrible. You know, they put Kansas in the Midwest, where if they win two games, they're playing in Kansas City. But you're going to tell Roy Williams, hey, you have to play Kansas in Kansas City for the right to go to the Elite Eight. I mean, Kansas is a 4 seed. It's not like they're a 1 seed playing in Kansas City. They're a 4 seed.
Yeah.
And to me, you're giving them an advantage over UNC or Kentucky or Houston or whoever they end up playing in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, that you have to play them less than an hour from campus. So I think that's tough. And the other one sort of involves an American team. It's Cincinnati playing in Columbus. And so if they beat Iowa in the first round, they're going to be playing Tennessee. In Columbus. And, to me, that's another one where it's like, come on. You know, you could have switched them with Nevada. You could have switched Kansas with Virginia Tech and solved all this. And then, obviously, the Michigan State situation is kind of tough for Tom Izzo. You know, they win the Big Ten regular season. They win the tournament. And then they go get placed in the region with the overall number one seed Duke. It's to me, like I said, this sort of goes back to the feeling that this was made on Friday, and just you know, they sort of packed it in since then, made a couple of adjustments with Duke moving to the overall one seed, but I just don't think they accounted enough for what happened in conference tournaments.
All right,
couldn't agree more.
Got to ask you the obligatory: who's your Final Four? Who you got in the Final Four? Who you got winning the thing?
So I kind of hate my Final Four; it's way too chalky. But I'm going to go Duke, Texas Tech, Virginia, UNC. So 3 1 seeds plus Texas Tech, and I'm going Duke over Virginia. To win. I thought Duke was the best team all year. Now with Zion back, he seems healthy. To me, they're just loaded with talent, and they're just going to. I think they're you know, Zion was one of the best college players I've ever seen, and I think he's going to carry them to a title.
Jeff, is there a double-digit seeded team that you really like?
There's two. I like Oregon and New Mexico State. Yep. Oregon, you know, it seems like they figured out what went wrong early in the season. I had them as a preseason Final Four team, so I'm kind of happy to see it, and I don't think they're that good. But I do think they're good enough to beat Wisconsin, and you know, I think Irvine's going to beat Kansas State. So I think Oregon in Sweet 16, and I think New Mexico State, you know, they're deep. They're talented. Mm-hmm. I think they're really well coached, and I think they can win two games.
Jeff, man, we appreciate the time.
Thank you, brother.
You're not you're not a friend of Memphis. They don't like your prediction. I ain't going to lie to you. People are very sensitive
That's fair.
I mean,
I hope I won a few of them back with my compliments of Penny Hardaway
yes.
and Memphis this season.
Yeah, as long as you say Penny Hardaway is the greatest coach of all time, then you'll be safe here forever. Jeff, appreciate
Thank
it, man.
You Thank this, you for this, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Yep, he is Jeff Borzello, college basketball insider for ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.